Intrusion Prevention Fundamentals, An Introduction to Network Attack Mitigation with IPS by Earl Carter and Jonathan Hoag, Chapter 1, Part 4, Evolution of Attack Mitigation. The attack examples in the previous sections show how over the last two decades, attacks have become more dangerous and difficult to defeat. They have more effective delivery mechanisms, are more complex, hit more targets, and do more damage. Furthermore, today's attacks are developed very quickly and take advantage of vulnerabilities in commonly used communication mechanisms and required services. This rapid evolution had the attack mitigation tools that existed prior to IPS straining to keep up. They were not evolving as quickly as the attacks they were expected to handle. The gaps between their capabilities and the capabilities of attacks were growing. IPS was designed to fill these gaps. You have essentially two types of IPSs, network and host. Network IPS analyzes network activity. Host IPS examines activities on each individual computer. This section illustrates the deficiencies of the host and network-based technologies that prompted the development of IPSs. A wide variety of technologies can mitigate attacks at a host level. Each of the following technologies has weaknesses for which host IPS was designed to compensate: antivirus, personal firewalls, and host-based intrusion detection. Antivirus is the most widely deployed security technology in the world. It identifies and eliminates viruses by scrutinizing the contents of files and comparing it with what it finds in a database of known virus patterns. When the antivirus identifies a virus in a file, it is usually able to clean, delete, or quarantine the file. This approach works well for viruses that are known and exist in the pattern database. It's practically useless if the virus isn't in the database or the target's database is out of date. Antivirus administrators must depend on the product vendor to add virus patterns to the database quickly. After the database has been updated by the vendor, administrators must obtain the update and distribute it to all of their hosts. The update process often takes a long time. The vendor has to obtain and analyze a sample of the virus, update the virus database, make it available to customers, and then the customers have to download and distribute it to all of their hosts. Each step adds minutes, hours, or days to the process. Unfortunately, today's attacks propagate so quickly that the signature database cannot be updated in time. Slammer, for example, took 10 minutes to infect 75,000 hosts. You have almost no way to protect a host with a new virus signature in less than 10 minutes. Slammer demonstrated that technologies that rely on updates to protect a system from attack are not sufficient. Personal firewalls also use pattern matching, except that they match the signatures with data arriving via the network rather than files. If content in the data stream matches an attack in the signature database, the data is discarded. In that sense, personal firewalls rely on updates just like antivirus. They cannot stop an attack for which they do not have a signature, and the signature update process sometimes takes too long to be effective. Personal firewalls combine the signature approach with the ability to block unauthorized network connections. If an attack relies on a network connection to propagate, the firewall can block its connection. Network connection blocking is also able to prevent an infected host from infecting other hosts by blocking the infection's outbound connection attempts. The trouble with connection blocking is made clear by worms like NIMDA, Loveletter, and Slammer. NIMDA and Loveletter use email as a delivery mechanism. You could configure your personal firewall to block email connections, but then your email would be useless. The same goes for the Microsoft database connections that Slammer used to propagate. The propagation of the Slammer worm could have been limited by blocking all database connections, but then you would have had to kill regular access to your database servers as well. When attacks propagate using authorized network connections, security professionals are faced with very tough decisions. Do I use my personal firewall to block the connection and lose money by denying service to the database or email? Or do I allow the machine to be infected? Neither decision is particularly palatable. Host-based intrusion detection. Host-based intrusion detection system products monitor system and network resources to detect when they are being used inappropriately. It is a useful counterpart to port blocking firewalls because it is able to detect malicious activity even after an authorized connection has been permitted by the firewall. When malicious activity is detected, the HIDS notifies the appropriate IT personnel. Knowing what malicious activity has occurred is certainly valuable. However, if the attack the HIDS detected damaged the system, the damage is done and now must be undone. That can be expensive. Worms like CIH and NIMDA are capable of doing so much damage that many IT security staff came to the conclusion that detecting an attack is nice, but preventing it from doing damage is critical. Analyzing the operation of your network is important for optimum performance, as well as for detecting attacks against your network. Detecting attacks on your network evolved through the following stages: system log analysis, promiscuous monitoring, and inline prevention. The simplest way to monitor your network is by analyzing the log files generated by the devices on your network. The problem with analyzing log file information is that it provides a limited view of the attacks being launched against your network. Analyzing logs to produce useful information is also a very time-consuming task. Furthermore, by the time that you analyze the log, the attack has already been conducted. Instead of relying on log file information, early intrusion detection systems started to promiscuously monitor the traffic on your network. By examining the actual traffic on the network, these IDSs could identify a wide range of attacks against your network. To respond to attacks, these systems provided various response mechanisms, including the following response mechanisms: generating alarms, resetting TCP connections, IP blocking, and logging traffic. Although IDSs have always provided some form of automated response to various attacks, many deployments use that functionality only sparingly. Instead of an automated response, many deployments chose to require human intervention. The IDS monitored the network, generating alarms when attacks were detected. It was then up to the operator to take appropriate response. Although intrusion detection could react to intrusive traffic, the actions that it provided were still reactive and allowed the initial attack traffic to reach the target system. IPSs expanded on the functionality provided by intrusion detection by enabling you to prevent attacks against your network. Attack prevention is possible with IPSs because the IPS device acts as a layer 2 forwarding device. This enables the IPS device to drop traffic that is considered intrusive before it reaches the target system. Computer systems communicate with each other across the network using protocols. The Open Systems Interconnection, OSI model, divides the functions of a protocol into a series of layers, with each layer only directly communicating with the layer above and below it. The OSI model establishes the following layers. Layer 1, the physical layer. An example is the physical cables. Layer 2, the data link layer. An example is Ethernet. Layer 3, network layer. An example is IP. Layer 4, transport layer. An example is TCP. Layer 5, session layer. An example is SMB. Layer 6, presentation layer. An example is ASCII. Layer 7, application layer. An example, HTTP. Intrusion prevention provides numerous capabilities at both the host level and the network level, but from a high-level perspective, the capabilities provided by intrusion prevention fall into the following two major categories: attack prevention and regulatory compliance. The main capability provided by network intrusion prevention is the ability to prevent malicious traffic from reaching the target audience. Detection systems have been used for years, but each of them always allowed a certain amount of malicious traffic to reach the target systems because they were reactive in nature. With the introduction of intrusion prevention, you have the ability to proactively defend your network against attack. Besides preventing attacks, intrusion prevention also enables you to enforce RFC compliance. For example, many peer-to-peer applications take advantage of the fact the outbound traffic to a destination port of TCP port 80 is usually allowed by the perimeter firewall to communicate using TCP port 80 as well. By enforcing RFC compliance, your IPS can ensure that traffic using the TCP port actually matches the HTTP definition, RFC 2616. Regulations force many network operators to guarantee that certain security restrictions are enforced on your network. These requirements are especially robust with respect to networks that handle medical information on patients. Deploying both NIPS and HIPS can assist in being compliant with many of these requirements. Let's summarize what we've learned. Security threats have always been around. Anything of value makes a viable target for a thief. Traditionally, theft required physical access to the object being stolen, limiting the number of attackers and increasing the chances of the perpetrators being caught. Mainframes and mini computers allowed access to a limited number of directly connected dumb terminals. Gradually, the need for extended connectivity became more important. This need for connectivity led to dial-up access to mainframes and mini computers. Adding dial-up connectivity increased the scope of attackers by enabling anyone across the world with access to a telephone and a computer and a modem to attempt to access the systems. The development of the Internet has created an environment in which millions of computers across the world are all connected to one another. Furthermore, access to this network is fairly ubiquitous and cheap, enabling any thieves in the world to target your computer regardless of their physical location. Many factors impact the security threats that a computer system is vulnerable to. Some threats are more severe than others. When trying to understand why an IPS is necessary in today's networks, you need to consider the following factors: technology adoption, target value, and attack characteristics. This concludes Chapter 1 of Intrusion Prevention Fundamentals, An Introduction to Network Attack Mitigation with IPS by Earl Carter and Jonathan Hoag. Earl Carter, CCNA, is a consulting engineer and member of the Security Technologies Assessment Team for Cisco Systems Incorporated. Jonathan Hoag, CISSP, is a technical marketing engineer in Cisco Security Business Unit, where his primary focus is the Cisco Security Agent. He's been involved with host-based security products since 1999 when he joined Trend Micro. If you're interested in purchasing the book, Cisco Press offers excellent discounts on this book when ordered in quantity for bulk purchases or special sales. For more information, please contact U.S. Corporate and Government Sales at 1-800-382-3419 or visit ciscopress.com. Thank you.